You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. You get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Will, and the will to do it. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. And if it's not, and it has to be done, it must get done, then it will get done because you'll do it. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mondays and Wednesdays, this evening, Wednesday, from 7 to 9 p.m. Our Story, Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Our Story, Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Friday at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday, from 5 to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan, Sunday from 5 to 6. And then at 7 p.m. on Sunday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Welcome, family, to another episode of Time for an Awakening. No, African Perspectives. That's it. Yes. African Perspectives. Yeah, family. You know, I changed the way I don't do the announcements every day. I do them once a week now. It depends upon, I did them Monday, so maybe next week I'll do them Wednesday. We'll just see. We'll see.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
If I have a guest or whatever, so I had to deal with that. But we have the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And we're going to... December 17th. Many African people cannot believe that this Caucasian's objective is for African extermination. It is as if African people suffer from a mental illness that prohibits anti-European thinking. African people feel they have to question anything that is anti-established, but never question the establishment. Consistently talking about what you are going to do if this or that happens or happens again, and when this or that is consistently occurring all around us. Exposes a deep-seated fear and incompetence in a potential warrior. Given that time is of the essence in Yerugal's genocidal march against us, it is most revealing contradiction. The time is past for talking about what we're going to do. Consistently talking about... Thank you. Sorry. Consistently talking about what someone needs to do, this or that, psychopathically racist war criminal or nation, while doing nothing to locate and execute that sentence, speaks volumes about the lack of seriousness with which one takes their frontline oath. Selling wolf tickets is not the business or behavior of warriors. Talking loud and doing nothing is not found in the character or work of warriors. Making accusations against those who do the work of crippling and murdering African people without axing a deserved justice, out enacting a deserved justice, is not within the mentality of warriors. Warriors are willed, determined, singularly focused action verbs. If made against an active enemy, threats should never go unfulfilled. It just ain't talking and wolf tickets. It's about action. Affirm, I believe Yerugal is Yerugal, and act on that knowing. Affirm, I believe Yerugal, Europeans, Caucasians, the white man, is who and what he is, and I act on that knowing. December 18th. Nowadays, silence is looked on as odd, and most of my culture has forgotten the beauty of meaning such by saying little. Now tongues work all by themselves with no help from the mind. Toni Morrison. Lasting justice is enacted quietly. It is issued in without belligerence, without fanfare. A private understood threat is much more effective and lasting in the heart of one needing correction than a public outcry. Truth must be kept within the threat is obvious and intrusive. This means that silence is a very critical virtue where a people's liberation, empowerment, and sovereignty are concerned. With that said, the point must be brought out that wisdom is the reason of a people and becomes so good for good reason. It is the best of who they are and the truth as they know it. Proverbs are apex of wisdom. They encapsulate wisdom in a way that simplifies truth and makes it easily accessible to all who are silent enough to understand and wise enough to think. And relative to us, there is a reason why there are more known African proverbs about silence than any other virtue or any other value. So we should remember the proverbial wisdom of our ancestors passed down to us about the value of silence. They tell us that a full tin makes no noise. An empty one does. An overly loquacious person is someone to flee from. An overly loquacious person is someone to flee from. Precious beads do not rattle. The one who talks thinks, but the one who does not talk thinks more. The wisest animal is the giraffe. It never speaks. The much talker one does, not much. A talkative bird will not build a nest. The talker talks and causes death in his family. A good thing sells itself. It is the silent lion that is stalking you. And the lion that kills is not the one that roars. Affirm, my tongue only works with the permission of my mind. Affirm, my tongue only works with the permission of my mind. Brothers and sisters, the Inya
Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. All right, family. All right. I'm going to pull this one up. Mama Marimba sent this out a few years ago. It is the, since Kwanzaa's coming up, it'll be here shortly. And I'm going to give the sovereignty interpretation of the Nguza Saba. We all know the Nguza Saba, the seven principles of Kwanzaa that should be instilled in our everyday lives. Just like the one that we're going to read, you know, which is Umoja, unity. Kujijangalia, self-determination. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. Kumba, creativity. Imani, faith. Those are the seven principles of Kwanzaa. These are seven principles of an African-centered interpretation of the Nguza Saba. Kujiwale. African-centered government, as mandated by our ancestors, our sacred and common source of being. Kumwale. To achieve that, we must have an African-centered interpretation and a sovereigntist interpretation of the Nguza Saba. Umoja, unity, the Pan-Africanist vision. Excuse me. The Pan-Africanist vision of African people throughout the world, joining forces to fight for African sovereignty and constructing an African world order. That's real unity. That's Umoja. The Pan-Africanist vision of African people throughout the world, joining forces to fight for African sovereignty and construct an African world order. Imagine the Africans on a continent fully embracing Africans throughout the diaspora. The Africans on the diaspora begin to come into Africa and to begin to work with and build with Africans on the continent to build the infrastructure, to build the educational institutions, the hospitals, the ports, the highways, all of those things happen because why? We recognize Africa is ours, and the wealth of Africa is more plentiful, even though Europeans have been there for years and have stolen and plundered. Europe is great because they stole from us. There are no resources in Europe. All their gold, all that gold that France and England, they have in reserves, is ours. It's a damn shame. Kujichagulia, self-determination. African people defining ourselves and determining our own destiny as a sovereign people. Sovereignty means that we don't rely on anybody. So that's why this interpretation is key. The Nguza Saba, understanding the real of interpretations for us as a people. African people defining ourselves and determining our own destiny as a sovereign people. Number three, Ujima, collective work and responsibility. African people working together, being responsible to and for each other, and accepting a common system of accountability. That's key. We accept this system of accountability, and we hold each other accountable. When a task is given and a timeline is stated, it is done. If the timeline is 2 weeks from now, it's done. A month from now, it's done. Whenever it's supposed to be, it's done. There's no procrastination. There's no him and howling. is do it. Get it done for our people. Collective work and responsibility. The fourth, Ujamaa, familyhood. Creating economic cooperatives based on the concept of African familyhood, interdependence, interrelationships, and community, national and global African unity. National and global African unity. African unity. Create economic cooperatives. Us lifting us is already there, family. Join us lifting us. Tomorrow night, their Thursday night broadcast. Every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us lifting us. Their Thursday night broadcast. You can call to listen or give questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us every Thursday from 9 to 10. Us lifting us. Ujamaa, creating economic cooperatives. We created it. Join it. Become a part of it. Based on the concepts of African familyhood, interdependence, interrelationships, and a community, international, and a global unity. Number five, NIA, purpose. African people share common goals that determine our commitments, and our guides are our choice and decisions. This gives sacred purpose to our lives and to our work and tell us why we have chosen to be African. Why we have chosen to be African. NIA, our purpose. What is our purpose? The young student asks, what is my purpose? He's saying it's not rhetorical because he's saying it seriously within himself. Your purpose, son, is to learn all that you can so that you can help yourself, yourself, your family, your community, and the African world. African people share common goals that determine our commitments and our guide, our choices and decisions. It guides our choices and decisions. It gives sacred purpose to our lives and to our work and tells us why we have chosen to be African. Purpose. Six, Kumba, creativity. To think with African minds and to create from our African center. When we practice this principle, we no longer imitate non-Africans. We find and return our own way. The way of our ancestors. We find and return our own way, the way of our ancestors. We imitate no one. And as you know, the world has imitated us. And still to this day, things that we do, how we do it. Somebody sent me a piece of a young Caucasian at Jackson State. You know, and they said, this is what happens when the white person sends his kid to HCBU and he's in the band. Yeah, they imitate us. The Koreans imitate. They all imitate us. Number seven, Imani. To believe in the vision of African sovereignty and to have the passion and the will and heart to bring it into being. To believe in the vision of African sovereignty, the faith, and have the passion and the will, the faith, in the will and in our hearts to bring it into existence. That's Mama. marimba, ani, urugu. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll be pumping that up. As all from this moment going forward, as we prepare for Kwanzaa next week Thursday, family. Yeah, next week Thursday. Next week Wednesday is Christmas. Merry Christmas. Brother Oshie, stop making fun of stuff, man. You don't want nobody making no fun of Kwanzaa, do you? Oh, hell no. You better not. Good thing. The idea and the concepts and the principles and instilling those principles into our everyday lives are key and critical for us as African people. That's why that sovereignty interpretation is key for us to put that into our lives for Kwanzaa. No joke. But there's some things that, of course, that prevent us from being able to do the things in a manner that are just and righteous. And, you know, although honestly, I don't use the word white supremacy. Well, I'll use it today. I don't use that because Europeans, Caucasians, Urugu, they are not white. It's just like in that scene of Cry Freedom with Denzel Washington playing Stephen B. Yeah, Steve, ain't it? He's played some great characters, man. You know. But yet he get an Academy Award for playing a despicable police officer in Training Days. You know. Hurricane. Played Hurricane. Yeah. The boxer. I mean, Denzel's multi. Also, too, you know, he did get an award. He did get a supporting actor award for his betrayal in Glory. Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway. So. In that scene, it's in the jury trial that the judge says, "Why do you call yourself black? You are more white than you are black." Then he turned around and said, "Yeah, why you call yourself white? You're more pink than white." So no, I don't use white supremacy because they're not white. And they shown in hell ain't supreme. But what they are is extreme. So that's why my good brother, Brother Paul, from across the pond, I've chosen to call it like this. European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. I still use racism because even though there's no such thing as race, but they created the concept. It's documented. They created the concept of race. Giving everybody a lower position with us at the lowest position. Of course, they are at the top. They are the apex. And us, we at the bottom. And considering how that's happened over these hundreds of years and decades and so forth. And still today, we're the most despised, the most hated. Because of them and the propaganda of race. And of course, everything that we have done, they want to take. Because that's how they are. They want to take. Okay. I got this from my lady. She gets mad when I call her my friend. How about my lady friend? Does that sound better? I don't know. You know, She's beautiful. I love her. Hope she made. Hope to put a smile into her face. All right. Yeah. The pyramid. And you know, I often talk about pyramids because in order to build a pyramid, you know, you got to have a solid foundation. So the pyramid of white racism, we'll use that word, you know, for right now. Like I said, I don't call it white racism. I say it's European, Caucasian extremism because they're not supreme, but they are extreme, very. Racism and privilege. Privilege, I left in there because they believe that's what they are. They are privileged. And nothing, brothers and sisters, this is the ultimate height of privilege. And so, therefore, when you throw this at one of these crackers, it should just shut the... Because Donald Trump is the ultimate in white privilege. To do what he did prior, I mean, for decades, and how he had with his arrogant attitude, and then to run for president. Even he said it. He said it to Oprah. Do you think you'll run for president? Yeah, I don't know. But if I did, I'd run as a Republican because the Republicans are stupid. He said it. And he did. And so then he runs for president. I think he ran for president, you know, I think he ran for president because of Barack. He was at that dinner, and he was being, you know, made fun of. And, you know, he can make fun. He can do all what he wants to, but you do something to him about he. And so I guess he decided to run for president from that point. And all the money and the people who got money, you know, he decided to run for president. Brother Ta-Nehisi Coates had a piece here. And it says, if I have to jump 6 feet to get the same thing that you as a Caucasian have to jump 2 feet for, that's racism. That's how it works. It benefits you because you are privileged in the system. It says, like, to be president, okay, Barack had to be scholarly, intelligent, president of the Harvard Law Review, the product of some of our greatest educational institutions, capable of talking to two different worlds. He had to be all of that. But Trump, he had to be just rich and white. That's the difference. He had to be rich and white. Privileged beyond comprehension. Privileged. So, in this pyramid of supremacy, in a pyramid, every brick depends upon the ones below it for support. If the bricks at the bottom are removed, the whole structure comes tumbling down. So there's a foundation of how this thing works. At the bottom is indifference. And this is how those who impose this system of white supremacy, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy, how it affects us and how it causes us to have this indifference. Politics don't affect me. I don't, you know, because you're indifferent. You don't care. Huh? Politics don't affect me. I'm just going about my daily life and trying to do the best I can to pay my bills and keep my job, you know. You know. And then you avoid confrontation with racist family members. You don't confront them. You don't check them. You just avoid them. Just let them go on. You don't challenge jokes. And you remain apolitical. If you see A in the society, A means not, you know, apolitical, you know. A means not. So next is minimization. You minimize things. Things are minimal. We all belong to the human race. You know? Denial of white privilege. And you believe there's a post-racial society. You know, a post-racial society. And you, of course, have the white savior complex because you've been minimized. You've been the victim of indifference, and you believe in this system and the fact that white people do what they do. When you see all those Negroes who are in support of Donald Trump, you even seen some thug ass dudes in support of Donald Trump. Yeah, I'm going because man, he just like us. Yeah, you saw how they treating him, man. Oh, God, this is sickening, man. I was telling my lady, this I hate this place. I hate being here. I really do, family. I really do. And my objective is just to help you understand what you're up against. Because I would like to be out of here. It doesn't matter who you vote for. Apparently not, huh? Voted for Donald Trump. A man who's a convicted felon. He can't vote. Because he's a convicted felon. Oh, but he can run for president? And win? And take office? And then now? Supposedly, I'm really anxious to see how this ruling goes from the judge in New York that he does not have immunity. When, of course, his lawyers have said he is now the president-elect. He will be president. He will be sworn in on the 20th of January. And so he should have total immunity. And, of course, his Supreme Court, because he was able to put three justices on the Supreme Court, thereby making the court conservative, and probably within this administration, he'll probably get Thomas out so he can put, I don't know if he's going to give him another Negro. He already got Ketanji Jackson, so he don't need another Negro, so he can just go ahead and put another cracker in, or, you know, white woman in again, who's conservative, so the conservative majority of the Supreme Court will be for the next 2 decades. Yeah. Yeah, brothers and sisters, this is some crazy stuff, isn't it? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's just a joke. Why are you so, you know, come on. Lighten up, guy. But my black friend said it was just a joke. That's what he told me. He said, this is my black friend. Yeah. Remember that when he was campaigning? Not this time, but back in 2016. Yeah, look at my African-American over there. Yeah, yeah. Doing this, I'm making reference to, I don't like Trump. I hate him. But this exemplifies who Trump is and how he is. His attitude of superiority, his attitude of privilege. So a lot of this stuff, when you see and read it, you know, yeah. Get over slavery. That was hundreds of years ago, man. Get over it. Yeah. I mean, even though, of course, the European Jew, you would never say to them, man, get over the Holocaust, man. Damn. But they have become wealthy. Because why? They're Europeans. They're Caucasians. Now, they're not real Jews, family. They're not. They're the Ashkenazi. In fact, they can't even take DNA tests because the DNA, it does not justify them being where they are in Palestine and eliminating the Palestinian people and taking their land. Why didn't they stay their ass in Russia, where the Khazars, where they are from? And of course, they went westerly and of course, into Poland and because these people have a different design on how to manipulate and control society, they made enemies because they wanted to control. And they done. They have. And today they are huge. You know, I'll have him on the program again, Brother Ayo Kamathi. And his presentation this past Saturday was serious. Yeah. It's not all white people. And of course, not believing experiences of people of color. And of course, coming up with false equivalents. Why can't we all just get along? After the indifference and minimization comes the veil of racism. Victim blaming, racist jokes, paternalism, English-only initiatives, Eurocentric curriculum, racist mascots, the bootstrap theory, tokenism, claiming reverse racism. That's reverse. You know, I had a discussion many years ago with one of my coworkers at the firehouse. She had some good discussions with them cats at the firehouse. And as I said to you, that the fire department is the most racist occupation. The fire department, firefighting in this country, how it is constructed, is the most racist occupation because of the unique working arrangements firefighters live at the firehouse. Most fire departments, they work a day off two. In this country, paid fire departments in major cities. That's how it is. I'm not speaking about volunteers. And in volunteering fire departments, very seldom do you have a lot of American Africans, and unless that community is totally American African, where they need some fire service, they don't have it. And then you have brothers and some sisters who will volunteer to train and practice to. Even though they live a different life, that by volunteering they do other things, they have another job or whatever. But when the call comes for them to help put out a fire, a structural fire, or grass fires or whatever, they respond. That's how it works. But in cities they have paid fire departments, and in these paid fire departments, for all of until the 50s, not some brothers, you know, some brother broke in and. You know, broke through the line and got hired, and you know, and I tell you, when Milwaukee hired William Curry, they treated that man with such disrespect. He was an educated man with a college degree, and they just threw a mattress in the corner, gave him a cup and a plate and some silverware. Man, I mean, you know, when the bell rung, he has to go. All the others, and when they go on the scene, if it is a fire, you do your job, whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing, you know. But when you come back to the firehouse, yeah, the most racist occupation there is. And considering it's a job that the citizens' taxes pay, it's a service, it's a public works job. I have a good friend, my friend Jim Wimbush. He always gets mad at me when I say that. But that's what it is. The people's taxes pay for the service. Shit. You can use semantics all you want. And so if the people's taxes pay for the service, and it's a public works job, then that service should, the job in itself should reflect the people they serve. You shouldn't have a people in a community that is 30, 40, 50%. And yet the fire department is 80, 90% Caucasian male. There's something fundamentally wrong with that. That's taxation without representation. And that's like that. And it's been reverting back to that. Because in the 70s, consent decrees were initiated in various parts of the country. And these consent decrees stated that based upon the population and they entered into it, said, well, 15%, 20%, 30%, whatever it was, should these hires, these next hires should be us to make the fire service more representative of the city that it serves. And so, you know, we started to climb in Milwaukee and in various cities. But you look at it today. Look at it today. We may be 30, 40% of the city, but we're less than 10% of the fire department. Today, Chicago, Milwaukee, and other cities. Some of these cities, the fire service was downsized, or they coalesced with other departments. Yeah. Discrimination, man. And racism is real. Mm-hmm. The veil of racism. You know what the veil is, you know. Hide your face. You know. Sometimes you see, just see the eyes as a veil. The veil of racism. Then there's discrimination. Racial profiling. Hiring discrimination. You know. Fearing people of color. Racial slurs. The funding of schools or lack thereof. Anti-immigration policies, redlining, stop and frisk, school to prison pipeline, these are all discriminatory practices that have adversely affected American Africans for decades. And all these things are still happening today because we live in a system. We live in this system that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. So therefore, as we go up to the top of this pyramid, after discrimination, it calls for violence. The neo-Nazis, the Ku Klux Klan, calling us the N-word, calling us niggers, you niggers. That's why, to me, it's a damn shame that I don't use the word. I don't call our women bitches or hoes, and I don't call each other niggers. I don't. I cuss. Because I've cussed on this program, as you know. But I don't do that. Because that is not who we are. And sometimes, brother, this shit is so bad it makes you want to holler. Makes you want, just like Marvin Gaye said, makes you want to holler and throw up both of your hands. Yeah. Violence. The neo-Nazis, the Klan, how they marched in certain places, man. Burning crosses, swastikas, the Confederate flags as they wave prominently during the insurrection into the White House. And this son of a bitch wants to prosecute those, you know, wants to prosecute those who had challenged him on the June 6th, his doing. He wants to put people in jail for challenging him for that, for what he did. What you seen on the day, he did that, and then he did nothing. He was in the White House watching the shit on TV and did nothing. These folks have an amnesia. They have selective amnesia. All the shit that he did, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to forget about it. You know, I just want to forget about it. Man. Calls for violence, and then, of course, there is violence. There's lynching. There's hate crimes. There's police brutality. Unjust police shootings. And, of course, at the top of the very pyramid is genocide. Mass murder is genocide. That's why when my marimba wrote and I read it, because that's what we must be, a truly liberated people, a sovereign people. To truly be liberated or sovereign, African people must come to know the nature of Europeans' thought and their behavior in order to understand the effect that the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from their thoughts, as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is demanded by an African-centered view. Why? Because we are Africans. And because the future towards which the European leads us is genocide. It's genocide. Man. That's the one pyramid. I got another pyramid to talk about. You know? Extremism. So we come back from the break. We're going to take a break. We come back from the break. We're going to talk about the other pyramid. And I'll be taking your calls at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Understand something, family. On this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we talk about things that help us understand independence. Help us understand liberation, self-determination, and sovereignty for us as a people. That's what we talk about here. You know, I might bring up a subject or two about something outside of that, or something funny in society, or something sports, or something, whatever. But the bottom line is, this is serious talk. This is a serious talk. It is liberating the mind. And that's our problem. We don't have our African mind. And you can see, this is a society that is so divided, and it becomes even more divided because why? You have people. I just looked at a piece that I saw on Facebook. The billionaires. We might have cracked a list, but it had people who had more than just $1 billion. All of these people had already 6-7 billion, maybe 10 all the way up to Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and all the others who, but Warren Buffett, who have over $100 billion. That shit ain't funny. Over $100 billion. And so Warren Buffett, of course, you know, he obviously knows economy and mathematics, but he paid his fair share. And he said, if everybody would pay their fair share of taxes, we could eliminate poverty. We could eliminate homelessness. We can have job creation. And see, to me, that's the concept that's going to be on the continent. It ain't going to be no son of a bitch who has such tremendous wealth and lives lavishly. No. All modesty. Nice house. Nice clean house. Nice car. Good running car. We all have opportunities to have it. And we all live peacefully. We all live peacefully. We don't covet nobody's stuff. We don't undermine. No, we don't do none of that. No. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, family. I tell you. Let me get to this break so I can come back and have some more discussion with y'all. With y'all. You know. And let you know we are listening to African Perspectives. We are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. On timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
16.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Jazz Crusaders, the Crusaders, love them. I had a chance to hear them in a real nice set, you know. Yeah, real nice set. Good program, but played for well over an hour and a half. So, you know, Wilton Felter, Joe Sample, Styx Hooper, Wayne Henderson, Larry Carlton, Robert Popwell, Max Bennett, Barry Finley, Hubert Laws, the Laws family, Hubert Laws, Henry Wilson and Billy Rogers, all of those people have been members of the Crusaders at one time or another. You know, they started out, well, they didn't only call themselves the Crusaders. They were the Jazz Crusaders when they, you know, came on the scene in the 60s. And the Crusaders played wildly in a sort of genres, including straight jazz, ahead. You know, they played hard jazz. And then, of course, the jazz, that fusion, you know. So the band reached a commercial apex in 79 with hits like Street Life, featuring the vocals of Randy Crawford. That was excellent. She was excellent on that, Street Life. I might play that one day soon, you know. But High School Friends, Joe Sample on piano, Wilton Felter on tenor sax, and Styx Hooper on drums, formed the first part of the band, the Swingsters in Houston, yeah, in 54. They played a mix of jazz and R&B and were joined by Wayne Henderson on trombone and, of course, Hubert Laws on flute, Henry Wilson on bass. The groups soon turned to hard bop and renamed themselves the Modern Jazz Sextet, but also recorded in more R&B veins at the Nighthawks. In 60, Sample, Felder, Hooper and Henderson moved to L.A. and formed the Jazz Crusaders as a quintet with a succession of different bass players influenced by musicians such as Cannonball Adderley, Art Blakey. And, of course, Art Blakey had the Jazz Messengers, and, of course, John Coltrane, the legendary John Coltrane. Cannonball Adderley and Nat Adderley, they're two brothers are legendary. In fact, that was one of the first cats I knew about was Cannonball Adderley because my first wife, her brother, he played sax, and he loved Cannonball Adderley. You know, he had Coltrane and others in there. In fact, that's how I learned jazz. I learned about jazz, you know, dealing with him. In fact, when I left and came back to Milwaukee, a club on the east side called Teddy's was having jazz sets, and brothers and sisters, I had the opportunity to hear some of the baddest men and women in jazz, in real jazz. In fact, you know, if you want to talk about some real jazz, you're talking about Charlie Mingus and Pharoah Sanders, you're talking about. These people I heard, family. Yeah. Yeah. You know. Stanley Turrentine. Oh, gosh, I can go on. Roy Ayers before he became commercial. Yeah. Yeah, I would go to these sets all the time. Rashawn Roland Kurt. Now, brothers and sisters, if you ain't hip to Rashawn Roland Kurt, you know, go to your YouTube. Once again, I'm always putting that on YouTube because it's there. Utilize it, it's there. And check out Rashawn Roland Kurt playing like 5 instruments at one time. He got a flute in his nose. No, he'll have a clarinet in his nose or a soprano sax in his nose. And then 2 or 3 in his mouth. I mean, it's Rashawn Roland Kurt is serious, man. Yeah. So I heard him. Many of them before they passed on. You know. Yeah, Eddie Harris. And I think I told the Eddie Harris story. I might as well tell it again. We got a little time. So, Eddie Harris is at Teddy's. And, you know, and Jose Feliciano walked in the club. Also to Esther Phillips, if you're hip to Esther Phillips and her unique voice. Once again, YouTube. Esther Phillips, heard her. Loved her. Eddie Harris acknowledges Jose Feliciano. He's going to be playing at the PAC, the Performing Arts Center, there that weekend. He acknowledges Jose, and Jose stands up. He's with a very attractive young lady, and he gives a scat. You know, does a scat, you know. And so then the lady gets up, and she does a scat, you know. And then Eddie Harris says, yeah, he'll be performing at the Performance Arts Center, and da-da-da-da. And then somebody in the audience says, well, what would the lady be performing? Eddie Harris says, in his bedroom in about an hour. Okay, you're right. She'll be performing in his bedroom. All right. So, Wayne Shorter and these are just some giants of jazz. If you love jazz, these cats are cold. Yeah. Yeah. The Jazz Crusaders. All right, let's get back to what we were talking about, family. And now we're going to talk about the pyramid. Once again, I don't use that word, white supremacy, because they're not white, and they sure the hell ain't supreme. You know? But Let me go back to what it says about the pyramid. It says, in a pyramid, every brick depends upon the ones below it for support. If the bricks at the bottom are removed, the entire structure comes crumbling down. So, on this blue one here, once again, it's the same thing. Indifference, minimization, veiled racism, discrimination, calls for violence. Then violence happens, and then there's mass murder. It's normalization at the bottom. It's normalization, conditioning you. And then ultimately, it's genocide. Indifference. There's two sides to every story. A political belief, once again, A in a society, is not political. It's like asexual. You're not sexual. Asexual. A religious. You're not religious. A. Avoiding confrontation. Politics don't affect me. I don't get involved. I don't get into party politics, the bullshit politics of this society. No, I've never been a Democrat nor a Republican, you know. But I probably never voted for a Republican candidate. And no doubt, considering who dominates and controls the Republican Party of today, definitely never will, you know. And the American African folks in the Republican Party act like Negroes. These people are pathetic. Men and women. And I told you about that Negress across the pond that Brother Paul hipped us to, and how she is self-hating. Like I said, I really hate what Caucasians have done to us and how they made us behave and acted the way that we do. The next step is minimization when they deal with their white savior complex. And all that's not all white people. Yeah, it is. It's all white people that have benefited from it. Okay, yes, there's some Caucasians here and there. But it is the Caucasian collective that benefits. It is the Caucasian collective that is discriminatory. It is the Caucasian collective. Not believing in people of color. Not believing people. Of course they don't care what you say. Not believing people of color and their experiences. Denial of white privilege. Well, you can't deny that shit now. They're always been in denial. They always. But still, it's right in front of your face. You can't. White privilege and a clear, dominant example is Donald J. Trump. And you son of a bitches, let him have it. Oh, y'all could have rejected him. I said, no, man. We can't do this. This is not right. This is not right. We can't have you behaving the way you behaved after you legitimately lost the elections. I don't know what the hell happened with ABC. I don't know how they capitulated or they backed down and paid Donald Trump $15 million. I don't even know what that suit was about. I want to pay this ass shit. Why didn't they? Sometimes they always say it is better to go ahead and settle than to drag. I don't know. I don't know what the hell Donald Trump. And of course, that further emboldens him to continue with lawsuits and anybody who disagrees with take me away. Take me away to a different place. I don't mean to take me away and get me out of the, planet. I know I don't want that to happen. Post-racism, intentions and impact. Post something just like preseason. Just using this analogy, the preseason is before the season starts. Then there's the season, and then there's the postseason. The postseason is moving you to a championship. The preseason is getting you prepared for the season. You go through the season, and then those who have done well in the season, they go to the postseason. And then you come talking about a post-racism. Like it's over. The creators of it and how it has benefited them, how they've utilized it, and it's global. Now, I don't know. I believe, I do know this, that the caste system in India, in fact, there's a book in the Nation of Islam that when Worf D. Muhammad took over before he moved the Nation of Islam to Orthodox Islam, but there was a book they had in there, one of the training manuals, and one of the chapters was titled, and I'll never forget, The Roots of Aryan White Racism and Diabolical Consciousness. It talked about how the people out of the Caucasus Mountains, these crackers, these Caucasians, moved down into India and learning what the people believed and developed the idea of racism and caste system, with the darkest people at the bottom and the lightest people at the top. Those who are destined to rule, those who look more favorable. And this mentality has unfortunately affected the world, infected the whole world. It is part of the Urugu virus that has infected the whole damn planet. Yeah. Yeah. Post-racism. The veil of racism, victim blaming, racist jokes, Eurocentric curriculums, tokenism, cultural appropriations, and racist icons. The veil, the disguise of racism. It is there. Discrimination, racial profiling, mass incarceration, racial slurs, fear of people of color, anti-immigration policies. As I'm saying this, you see it happening. You see all this bull happening in real time. It happened before and it's happening again, and it will continue to happen as long as they are in control, because it is what they, it is who they are, and it's what they do. And foolishly, many of us think that we can somehow appeal to them and then make them act right, make them do right. There ain't a damn thing we can do, family. I keep saying that. There ain't nothing we can do to change them. There is something that we must do, that is to change us. It's to purge ourselves of this ignorance, of this Urugu virus that we've been inflicted with. Give us a call at 215-490. Let me finish this up and give us a call at 215-490-9832. After discrimination, yeah. After discrimination, now it's calls for violence. The KKK, the neo-Nazis, the burning of crosses, the tiki torches, the intimidation, the calls for violence, the Proud Boys, the skinheads, all of it. And then, of course, violence itself being perpetrated, the lynching, the hate crimes, police brutality. Vigilante justice. They choked that brother, and the jury was hung, so they let the Caucasian go. Let him go. Just like, except the police officer kneeled on dude for hours. I can say hours. But the justice for us, just us, as Richard Pryor said, just us. Ah, lemon water, woo, love it. Just us. And then last but not least, family, mass murder. Mass murder. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, family. Yeah. It's going to happen. Are we prepared? See, we think that it's not. We think that somehow this country and all its words apply to us as well. When they were written, they had no concern. Let me say this, family. If you're truly naive, When the cracker did what he did back then, they thought that would be the case forever. He knew it was wrong. Then he was ashamed of being wrong. And then, of course, he had to let us go. Because they couldn't take a moral high ground with this situation happening when a part of humanity is enslaved. Oh, yes, we know what has happened around the world when people have done to other things of other people. But we know, too, that it is wrong. And so then, knowing that and seeing what happened, we thought that we could just take it further and further to inclusion, further and further into integration. This was forced assimilation, family. This is not integration. Integration is when I have something and you have something and we bring it together. And what you have and what I have is respected. I respect what you're bringing. You respect what I'm bringing. We bring it together, and now we can work together. That's what that is. No, what happened with us was forced assimilation. There was no respect for us and what our skills were. But as you've seen and heard many times, all the things that we have done here, and still we're underappreciated, and we're not appreciated at all. Because the ultimate thing is for us to be exterminated. And I'm going to say this. It just ain't no damn American thing. This is global. This is global. That's why I'm saying we've got to close ranks, pull our resources, and do for ourselves as African people. Go take back our land. It is ours. There's nowhere on this planet, family. Nowhere. And if it is someplace, you let me know. Rescue me if I'm wrong. Rescue me if I'm wrong, where we came into a land and took that land and started to, you know, took that land from those people, relegated them to a subservient position, or either eliminated them, a true form of genocide, just wiped them off the face of the earth and took their land. And now there's no place that we as Africans done that, because that we are a humane people. Urugu's a beast. The cracker's a beast. He's evil. He's sexist. Don't get me started. family, give us a call at 215-490-9832. Good afternoon, my good brother. You see, I'm fired up over here, Irv.
Baba Oshie.
I know, man.
Somebody called him.
I swear, man.
Somebody know you? Somebody call the police.
For real, man.
Well, Baba Oshie, the thing that amazes me, the more you speak of this, and the more we as the listening audience listen to you and we regurgitate what you're saying, it all makes sense. There's nothing about Urugu that surprises me. In other words, when I hear people say, I can't believe Trump did that, you let me know how much you don't know. Because the Urugu doesn't have a new playbook, Baba Oshie.
No, he doesn't. He
does the same thing over and over again. Yeah. And we keep saying, I can't believe they did that. What do you mean you can't believe it? What does Urugu have to do to get you, as an American African, to circle your wagon? What does Urugu have to do to get you to look inward and stop looking outward? Because the solution to the situation that we're in as American Africans is in us.
That's right. It is in us.
Just like it's in us. Whitney Houston, I think, did a song, the hero you're looking for is in you, or something to that effect.
Right.
But the point I'm making is, just like you are not in Africa, but Africa's in you, the solution to your problem is in you. It's in you collectively, and it's in you individually. In other words, be the change that you talk about. I'm not trying to say cliches and sound all cute. What I'm trying to do is get the work done. Find the people of like mind, talk with those people, form a strategy, which we already, it's already been written by our elders. They've given us a blueprint. Hello? A blueprint to get where we need to go. You are saying it, and I'm not surprised at anything Rugu does. Now they have a little white girl that went and shot up a school. Come on now, stay with me. Shot up a school, and they're saying, oh my gosh, that's terrible. It's usually not a white girl. So are you going to change the law? Because you did that with black people when they were doing the crack. They changed the law and sent a lot of us to prison over crack cocaine because it was supposedly an epidemic. And so white folks do it, then it's a health problem. Anyway, but that's another story. But the point I'm making is when white people do things, they have a conversation. When American Africans do things in this country, they have.
Oh, I just lost you, Brother Irv. Let's lost you, my dear brother. Call us back, man. Good afternoon, Brother Paul. How you doing, man? Brother Paul, are you there?
Good afternoon, Baba Ochi.
Good afternoon. Hold on, let me put you on hold for a second and let Brother Irv finish his point, okay? Thank you.
Absolutely.
Brother Irv, I'm sorry, man, you got cut off. How you doing, man? Go ahead, make your point.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Baba Oshie?
Very well. Go ahead, dear brother.
My point was made, Baba. I truly want to hear Brother Paul. He is so inspirational. But my point was, only the point I was making really quickly was that when American Africans do things, it is the end of the world. But when Caucasians do things, we look at it. They're having some medical. They're having a problem. She may have some psych issues and stuff,
right.
You know. But when we do something, it's the end of the world. We're savages.
Yeah.
You know those people are savages.
Yeah.
But why aren't we serial killers? Huh?
Well,
why aren't we serial killers? We're so bad.
Well, you know what, though? Unfortunately, because there have been some of us, because we're here in the land where there are serial killers, are Europeans, because there were Boston Stranglers and all kind of Son of Sam and there's been others across the pond as well in Europe that were serial killers. It is endemic to them. It is not us, okay? It is not us. But as long as we're here in this madness, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
It
becomes us as well. It becomes us as well, and
that's
the problem.
That's correct.
If
you run with dogs, you're going to get fleas. That ain't nothing but the truth.
Yep.
Baba Oshie, pull up Brother Paul. Let me hear what Brother Paul got to
All
say
right.
Brother Paul. Thank you, Baba Oshie.
No, thank you.
We'll talk.
All right, my brother.
Thank
Love you.
You,
man. Peace to you.
Yes, sir.
All right, Brother Paul. Go ahead, my man.
Honor and respect to my brother for giving way. Absolutely. Most highest respect. And I thoroughly enjoyed your rendition. And he was absolutely right. You know, Baba Ochie, let me just commend you firstly. You made the point about forced assimilation and that struck such a chord with me because I've been pushing back against this idea that we've been integrated and sometimes we rely on this statement from the great Martin Luther King that he stated that he integrated us into a burning house, which I don't agree with it. I think he was patronizing us in a way and trying to explain some of his efforts which didn't succeed, but I don't agree that he integrated us into a burning house at all. You know, we were a long time involved in this colonial plan, wrapped up in it from day one, from the creation, I mean you over there, from the creation of that colony of Britain called America. That's where it started from. They kidnapped Africans and started dragging them in chains, so you know. But you made the statement forced assimilation, and why I say that struck a chord with me because it's absolutely on point. And you're right, 100,000,000%. That is exactly what it is. It's not integration. You've been falsely and seditiously, and maybe somewhat naively, assimilated into an absolute devastating. Working against your interest state of affairs. That's
right.
Where you're at. That's where
right.
We all are at. You understand? We've been assimilated into this
madness. Into this madness.
That seriously struck a chord with me. And something Brother Irv said as well. And which I've been putting out for a while, and to him make that point was quite rewarding. You know, our solution, and this is the truth. You know, we were indoctrinated to believe, and belief is not knowledge. It's not truth. It's just something someone's told you, which you're just regurgitating without critical thinking, without really no analysis of what you've been told. You just regurgitate it rhetorically. What I'm saying is that's belief. So we believe, like, you know, that this indoctrination, that something's going to come out of the sky, or somebody named Jesus, or someone named Muhammad, or whoever you want to call it, is going to save us, or has saved us, which is absolute, goes against any rational or analytical thinking. But we are in 2024 with the access to information, with all the knowledge around us, still regurgitating and wanting to defend and die for that claptrap, total nonsense. And then we got to question what kind of intelligence that is. You see, because only, you know, it's not a selfish aspect when you talk about being your savior. Because, you know, like, for instance, what I'm suggesting is, like, you know, even if you're on you're looking at your last breath on the surgical table, yeah, you know, you can't just rely on the doctors, the machines, and everything else. You have to have the will
right
in yourself to survive.
Yes, Paul. Yes.
You understand where I'm coming from, Bob?
I definitely do.
You could have the best surgeon in the world. Mm-hmm. You could have been linked up. You know, some of those machines, you know, sometimes they suggest to the person to turn it off. And
right,
the person may say, they say, no, they want to give it a chance. And the doctors are telling them there ain't a chance. And then some, what they will call a miracle. But it's not a really miracle. It's the person's will and determination.
That's right. Thank
to
you.
To come back.
Yes.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And if that's absent, then there's no, you know, doesn't matter what anybody says. Doesn't matter how many books you read. Doesn't matter how many degrees you've got. You can read every book from every expert on the planet. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Mm-hmm. You have to look in yourself and have that overriding will. You're going to change this thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know where it's happened. We're not all to blame, because for me personally, my observation, it starts in the same systems we are totally dependent on, these schools. That's where it starts. Mm-hmm. The solution for that. If we actually realize that and we acknowledge that, we would not be sending our children to these schools. We would not be part of it. We would, because no one can really stop us from building education. No one. It's only we can stop ourselves. And what they do, they convince us. They trick us. They hoodwink us, bamboozle us. Any word you want to use to convince us that it's not worth our while. Our while is to get forward. We have to assimilate. That's the trick, and then we fall for it because they put pressure on. They assault us in all different directions. They break us down, basically. But the bottom line is, we haven't lost, you know, because the mere fact that we can even discuss this,
right?
That means that we're still,
exactly. No, Brother Paul, we have not lost. At all.
No, we haven't lost.
You know.
Because we're not even supposed to be talking like this. You're not supposed to be talking like this.
Exactly.
Urban, everybody else who contributes, we're not even supposed to have this thinking. We're not even supposed to be brave enough to ring across the sea and talk it. But we're going to talk it because we are the change factors.
That's right. It's us.
We're not waiting for change. We're the change factors.
Right.
We. And that's what they try to knock out of us. They try to make us feel that we have to look for hocus pocus, pie in the sky, and every other nonsense to save us. No, we don't. We are going to save ourselves. And I know that. But we just have to wake up. That's what we have to do.
Continuously.
And look in the mirror and say, that changing factor is you.
That's right.
If you don't, look, last thing I want to say, if the individual does not see that changing factor in themselves, and they can't allow somebody to build up their self-confidence and build up that determination and that confidence to change, then they really need to look deeply in themselves, or maybe even step aside. because a lot of us ain't ready for what's coming down the pipeline, and a lot of us are not even ready for change, and that means taking control of your destiny. A lot of us are not ready for that.
No.
And if you're not ready for that, just admit the truth and step aside and let what's going to happen, let happen. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's not going to be nice.
And don't
I tell you,
you
that for a fact. It is not going to be nice, Baba Ochi.
No.
I'm not praying for niceties and love and all this. That's not me. I'm in the reality of it, and it's not going to be nice.
No, because it's like a righteous struggle, and a struggle that it is. And so, therefore, we got to go get down and dirty in it to make it happen. We just can't. Let's do this, okay? We're going to divide you guys, and we're going to separate ourselves because you guys have been so terrible. And we're going to go over here, and no, you're going to have to defend. If you make a move, Paul, to liberate yourself. If you make a move to make independence or to become sovereign, you have to defend that. You have to defend that
Absolutely.
Move. If you are now forbidding these crackers who all these hundreds of years have had free reign and free access to resources, and now you're saying, no, you got to pay for this, and you got to pay fair market value. Oh, no, you got to defend that. We're dealing with an evil entity on this planet. And that is the European, the Caucasian, Urugu. We're dealing with an evil entity, and he has many minions of other racial groups, other cultural groups. So I'm saying, you know, if it's us against the world, so damn be it. But it has to come. We have to fight.
Baba, it's not us against the world, you know. Absolutely not. It's us against ourselves.
Because Ashe,
you know... The truth, it's not us against the world. Mm-hmm. Trust me, it's not.
Yeah.
Because, and I tell you, and I can explain why it's not. Because in truth, right? Look, this world, the world is waiting for you to wake up. It's waiting for you to wake up. And it's wondering why the hell you haven't woken up. Why the hell you haven't woken up and realized who the hell you are. And that's why it's laughing, because it's thinking to itself, look at all the madness we do. We know who you are. It's you who don't know who you are. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That is really the problem. So it's not really us against the world. It's us against ourselves, because at the point we wake up and realize our true purpose on this planet, listen, it's not about war, us fighting them and them and them. We're just going to naturally take back control. It's in our DNA. It's in our DNA. It's in our substance. We've been lied to. We've been so brainwashed.
Right.
It's untrue.
Right.
But at the moment, you in your destiny say, you know, we talk about unity. Unity is not a soundbite. It's not something say what is going to happen. It's the moment you overstand your true purpose on this planet. It will automatically happen because you know what to do. You ain't going out there to rob, hinder and trick your brother and sister. You ain't doing that. You ain't wasting your time doing that because you know you're bigger than that. And that's the problem. Most of us doing nonsense, you know, all the nefarious nonsense some of us are doing is because we don't know who we are.
Right.
We've lost that purpose. I'll leave it there, Baba Ochi. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Brother Paul, appreciate you very much, man. You have a blessed and wonderful evening there and all across the pond. In the UK. Peace to you. Family, I tell you, it's always great to hear from Brother Irv and Brother Paul and all the other callers, you know, and listeners of this program. I appreciate you listening. I need you to communicate and to communicate with your brothers and sisters. We have many obstacles that we must overcome. And I tell you, excuse me, family. Okay, let me go on. I'm going to play this right quick. I'm going to play this right quick. So, because this is something that we're trying to really talk about consistently, you know? And so, brothers and sisters, let's listen to this for a moment. You'll enjoy it.
the joy as we sing of the love togetherness can surely bring emotion. Set the table, no matter strong, thankful for the first fruits of the year. Stay, I light a candle just for you. Come join the party, it's a celebration. Karamu at Kwanzaa time of year. Red and yellow, black or white, you're old, it's alright. It's a celebration that should last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is much we can do.
All right.
Happy Kwanzaa.
It's a celebration. Remembering times of old. Tradition is the food that fills our souls. Yes, it does. Still, the children are the future of all our hopes and dreams. Let's teach them well. Let's teach them well. Come join the party. It's a celebration. Karamu at Kwanzaa time of the year. Red and yellow, black or white. Yellow, it's all right. It's a celebration that will last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. All right.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Everybody.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do. Happy, 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 happy Kwanzaa. So many ways to show I love you. See, I have faith in all that we do. But we gotta stay together. Just a few of the principles that help us.
Starts at 8, that's when we get praise to the man upstairs for another blessed day. I give hugs to my moms, my dad and my sis. You smell that? I run to see what moms cook.
While we drink from the cup of togetherness, it's that part of the year that you don't want to miss. I give a gift from the heart so you know it's true. So recite a principle and tell me what it means to you.
Creativity.
Once again, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. Teddy Pendergrass, Happy Kwanzaa. Yeah. Bet you some of you didn't even know Teddy made a Kwanzaa song. Yeah. Yeah, so getting ready for it, getting my mind and heart ready for it.
You know.
Brother Earth. Brother Irv, you there? Brother Irv? Okay. Well, let me say this, family, because I know we don't have that much time. I appreciate for those who did call in, those who are listening always. And I tell you, as you always close out the year, and of course Kwanzaa closed out the year and giving at least a possibility, a sense of possibilities for the upcoming year, you know, as those principles are understood and hopefully incorporated into your everyday lives, you know. But I tell you, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. Long time, over 70 years old, family. And I've pretty much been a brother who loved us and who loved us tremendously, unconditionally, and would try my best to help us, particularly work on our minds. Just like Brother Paul was saying, it is us. You know, when you look in the mirror, you try the best that you can do within yourself to be the best man, the best woman, and to help us, to help each other, you know. So we, you know, this upcoming Kwanzaa season and the holidays, so-called holiday season, especially, you know, Christmas is a tough holiday. It really is, you know. It is a holiday that is emotionally mixed, from the joy and fear to the despair and hopelessness because of the financial conditions. Now, obviously, for those who have resources and have wealth, oh, Christmas can be beautiful, can't it? Yeah, it can be. But for those who struggle and may have an issue with housing, may have an issue, may have some serious health challenges and issues. Yeah. But, I mean, that's every day, though, family. It's every day. And every day is a struggle, you know. And, of course, that's why we have got to be serious about what we do. So I'm going to be playing Kwanzaa music from this point on and something each day. You know, we got the seven principles. I'm going to see if I can hear some music that I haven't heard before to present that, you know. And the reason why Kwanzaa is so important, family, because the whole idea of Kwanzaa is to change our minds and to focus in on the first principle, which is unity. We need unity. If we had unity, nothing that is happening to us as African people would be happening today. If we had unity with Africans on the continent, Africans in the diaspora, Africans within your community, Africans within your family, nothing would be, there would be no problems. Because within that unity, a sense of purpose is understood. We pool resources. Nobody is going to go hungry. We're not going to despise one another, cheat one another, lie to one another. No. We have unity. People who are united don't do those things. They work for a better situation for our community and for the African world. They work for a better situation. And the best situation could be that we realize it and we start to function in it. We start to work hard in it. We pull resources. We recognize that, you know, not like the European who has these billionaires. I'm quite sure you should know some of the poorest people in this country ain't us. Oh, we are. We're there. But ain't all us. It's a lot of them. A lot of indigenous people who have suffered. A lot of Latinos who have come here. And the situation is now it's cracked up to be. just like some African brothers I read about. They came here, you know, they found a way to get here, and then they got here, and they're like, damn, I'm going back home. You know, I can't take this. So, family, we got to understand our situation. We do. And we have to understand our situation collectively. Collectively. But it's very difficult when you have all these ideas around you about, you know, you being this and you being that, because the society promotes and perpetuates individualism. Individualism is a European Caucasian desire. That's why, you know, the idea of redistributing wealth and would help everybody else, they don't want that. No, they want to know, they want the notion and the idea that me too can be a billionaire. Me too can be a millionaire. I mean, hey, if you're a millionaire, that's serious. To be a billionaire and saying you have, like I said, I've read that piece about all these Caucasians who are, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50, 80, 100 and or more billionaires. That's ridiculous. That's asinine. Man. So family, you have a blessed day. Hope to see you on Friday. Have a good day. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without, and they sure the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Be safe. See you on Friday. Peace.